steps into it. Pass is caught! Sideline! Touchdown! Unbelievable! Vikings win it!
Hello, hello, let's go! It's your man, Flip Mozzie, and thank you for spending 15 minutes with me today. We have got a lot going on in August right now, y'all, and it's a pretty good life. Let's take it all the way back. Randy Moss is in the Hall of Fame, baby. Stephon Diggs has all the money, $72 million, $40 million guaranteed, $15 in his pocket already, and he's a Viking through 2023. Stephon, go treat yourself now, but also try to learn about interests like they do on Hard Knocks. Oh, Minnesota, how I love thee. Let me count the ways. Kirk Cousins, Dalvin Cook, Adam Thielen, Pat Elflein, Riley Reed, Harrison Smith, I'm not done, Everson Griffin, Xavier Rhodes, Linval Joseph, Eric Kendricks, Danielle Hunter, and now Stephon Diggs. All Vikings through 2020. Just gotta get our man Anthony Barr locked up, and that's how you start a season. Y'all, it's August. We've begun that gradual climb towards the 2018 season. A slow month of approach while our team practices, regains health, polishes that new offensive scheme, prepares for the season with some basically meaningless preseason game. Now I see some are ready to go. I know us fans, we crave football. We don't want to hear about slowly, gradually getting ready. But now, what did we talk about in my last pod? Just like I said, the cooler heads get the most out of training camp. It's August. We're not going to sit here and break down every little injury that happens in training camp. We're not going to talk about how Adam Thielen doesn't have any catches in a preseason game. We're focused on weeks 1 through 17, not the preseason. So I'm not even going to touch training camp. The two preseason games, outside of roster battles, they don't tell us much. It's August, y'all. The glass is half full. Nick Easton's injury we're sad about, but we've got a season to prepare for. We got to consider what's possible. We don't need to look down. We're already at the bottom of the mountain. So let's look up. So yeah, y'all can get your training camp hot takes elsewhere. That's not what we're talking about here. What we'll do here is build up gradually to September. I get excited about the regular season, looking at the games to come. Sunday, September 9th, with San Francisco in town. Lambeau Field in week 2. All 32 teams are preparing for the 256 battles in the regular season. The games are what we're here for, not the practices, not the interviews, not the contracts or the depth charts, the games. Let's get ready for them. So today we're going to take a look at which games will be the best games of 2018. Let's be clear, when I say best, I mean the most challenging. Football is at its best when the stakes are high. So we're going to rank the Vikings' opponents from easiest to toughest. And I'm not going to use the overall strength of each team, no way. Y'all can get that from much better sources than me. What I'm going to do for y'all is define which teams are best built to beat our purple. To do that, we first have to get comfortable with our own team's strengths and weaknesses. This might sound like a rah-rah podcast, it's not. We're going to ask ourselves what those opponents need to do to beat us. So how do you beat the Vikings? Football today starts with passing offense. Zimmer's pass defense is elite. A dominant third down defense that only allowed a 25% conversion rate in 2017. In terms of success rate, they're easily a top 10 unit and top 5 using DVOA. There's no easy yards against that D. Studs all over the field. Edge defenders that pressure well. Linebackers that tackle well, defensive backs that cover well. So to beat that defense, they'll need great quarterback play. Matt Stafford, Cam Newton, Ben Roethlisberger, and a career game from Nick Foles were the only quarterback efforts to beat our purple in 2017. Now, with Rhodes closed for a team's primary receiver, I also think that a dangerous second receiver or tight end, someone who can test Trey Waynes or Mackenzie Alexander or Mike Hughes, look at that rookie flash. We see you, Mike Hughes. To beat this defense, opponents will need more than one legit receiver. It's almost a must as well. Martavis Bryant in Pittsburgh last year, Marvin Jones in Detroit, those are good examples of how secondary options can succeed against our D. In the run game, I just don't see how they'll run against this front, especially with the addition of Sheldon Richardson. Sheldon and Linval next to each other, woo boy, are they gonna eat. I can't wait to see this. Power runners should get shut down. Opponents will need a versatile running back, not just a power guy. The 2017 Vikings ranked 5th in short yardage situation. They ranked 2nd in second level yards allowed. What opposing teams need is a running back who's a factor in the passing game. So it's quarterback, second wide receiver, and running back that we're paying the most attention to when looking at our opponents. To keep it objective, we're going to look at stats for each position. QBR for quarterbacks, DVOA for wide receivers, and for running backs, I'll only be using their receiving DVOA. All these stats coming from the 2017 season. If you want an explanation of DVOA, it's in the show notes. I'd love to dig into it, guys, but you know this show, we only got 15 minutes. Now on defense, you could argue a team has more options against our Vikings O. There's a lot more unknowns on that side of the ball. A lot more moving pieces. Cousins, the new quarterback. Cook coming back from injury. Laquon Treadwell, what is he? But if I'm a defense, it's clear to me how I would attack the Vikings. First, in the passing game, Minnesota has talented receivers who are gonna win most battles. Kyle Rudolph is no slouch as a pass catcher either. Cousins can put up yards in droves in a clean pocket. So that's just it. The defenses that can generate pressure on the quarterback will fare best. That gives Diggs and Thielen less time on their routes. It pushes Rudolph into a role as a blocker, which isn't his strength. It takes advantage of weaknesses along the offensive line, especially at right tackle where Rashad Hill and Brian O'Neill are unproven. And most importantly, it hurries Cousins into the worst version of himself, a turnover-prone Kirk with both interceptions and fumbles. That's why I think defenses with elite edge rushers will present the biggest challenge for our purple. And this is a different strategy from 2017. Even after some offensive line injuries last year, Case Keenum was able to use his mobility to escape pressure, and Pat Shurmur designed a simple but effective offensive scheme to get the ball in our playmakers' hands earlier in the play. The big theme in stopping the Vikings offense last year wasn't pressure, but turnovers. Yes, the two can go hand in hand at times, but some of those mistakes, like the fumbles in Detroit, the second interception in Carolina, even the failed fake punt in Pittsburgh, sacks didn't really stop the offense last year like they did in 2016. If Kirk can limit the unforced errors this year, all focus will turn to the edge pressure he's facing. For the run game, I still gotta stay on the line. Dalvin Cook has incredible vision, and Latavius Murray steams through every yard available to him. Linebackers who tackle well could help curb that threat, but defensive tackles who can disrupt run plays early will be the true X factor. Overall, I'm looking for defenses that are well built up front, with linemen that can control both phases of the game. Football Outsiders has stats for these as well. Adjusted sack rate and adjusted line yards. So we set the stage, now let's look at what each of our opponents have at those five positions and rank them. Combining all these rosters and players and metrics, the opponent I'm least worried about in 2018 is the Buffalo Bills. I have no idea why the Bills gave away Tyrod Taylor or who their quarterback will be in week 3 or what their receiver core will look like. They have a solid weapon in LeSean McCoy if he isn't suspended. That alone lands them in their own tier at the bottom of these rankings. On defense, Shaq Lawson looks to be a promising edge rusher who's still developing, and star Lotulelei hopes to add to an average defensive interior, but they aren't strong enough here to cause fear. If week 3 isn't a cakewalk, then our purple has some serious problems. Next, we have the tier 3 opponents, starting with the Chicago Bears. Many are excited with what the Bears did this offseason, hiring an Andy Reid disciple in Matt Nagy, signing Allen Robinson, who's great when healthy, inking Super Bowl darling Trey Burton, and the former Falcon Taylor Gabriel. But you know what? They were terrible last year, and they still got to put all that talent together on the field. While the Bears were great in generating a pass rush last year with a deep edge defender rotation, it would take special efforts from Trubisky and Tariq Cohen for the Bears to threaten the Vikings in November and December. It's a similar story with the Jets, the Dolphins, and the Seahawks. Sure, there are guys like Leonard Williams, Cameron Wake, and Kenyon Drake along the way, but these single stars shouldn't be enough to beat Minnesota. I was surprised to see Seattle so low on the list, but not after looking at the details, at the roster. Remember the criteria we're using. Russell Wilson finished 12th in QBR last year. Before all you PFF buffs get hyped, calm down. PFF graded him as the 11th best passer in 2017. Even if you give him a pass, call him elite, I don't care. Who is he throwing to? Doug Baldwin can't do it all by himself against this defense. Tyler Lockett will get locked down. I like my chances there. The defensive line is 50% former Vikings. It's a one-man Frank Clark show on that side of the ball. Arrow is down on Seattle this year, guys, and the Vikings need to prove that in Week 14. Now here comes the middle tier. If the Vikings are contenders, they should beat these teams. But let's be honest, games will be lost to some of the teams here. This group is a collection of solid football teams vying for the playoffs. Some of them will make the postseason too. Threats that should be dealt with but not be taken lightly. Starting with week 1, coming in at number 8 on my rankings is the San Francisco 49ers. Led by Jimmy Garoppolo, the fiery 5-star veteran quarterback who's undefeated in a small sample size in the NFL. His QBR last year was right up there with Carson Wentz and Tom Brady. We'll see if it holds up in a full season. Also included in this group are our northern friends, the divisional rivals with Detroit at 7 and Green Bay at 5. Detroit features the offensive arsenal to compete with Minnesota's D, and they showed it last year during 2 games, 1 win by 7, 1 loss by 7. Matt Stafford does it year in and year out. Golden Tate and Marvin Jones should not be taken lightly, and Lions fans are excited about their third receiver, Kenny Golladay. Obviously, in Wisconsin, there's Aaron Rodgers to deal with, but regarding their receivers, Geronimo Allison, I'm not impressed. Whatever number Ty Montgomery wears, who cares? Where Green Bay threatens is actually on the defensive side of the ball. Green Bay quietly finished 9th in both line yards and sack rate in 2017. Kenny Clark and Mike Daniels are severely underrated, and they added Muhammad Wilkerson to their front. We will see trench battles in weeks 2 and 12. Don't ignore that Packers defensive line. You heard it here first. And there's a surprise team in this tier too. They come in at number 6. Between the Packers and the Lions is our good old friend Sam Bradford and the Arizona Cardinals. I say that jokingly, of course, because it's up to Sam to make it to week 6. But that old debate we used to have with Sam still applies. We don't trust Sam Bradford's health. But when he's healthy, he's got flashes of greatness. As you look more at the Cardinals, call me crazy, but there's a lot to like. David Johnson is a threat in both phases, and that can burn us. Chandler Jones can still get to the quarterback. Arizona finished 1st in defensive line yards allowed last year. That makes teams one-dimensional throwing at their secondary, which has Patrick Peterson and Buda Baker back there. So yeah, watch those Cardinals, man. I think that could be an October loss. That's another hot take for you. Gotta keep giving them. Next pod, we'll discuss the four teams in the top tier at length, and we'll break down the flow of the season, the Viking schedule based on these rankings to see where it could get tough, where it might get easy, where a trap game or two might lie. All that and more as we build towards 2018. That's it, guys. Time to shut it down.